All right, I believe we are live here Monday night on Dodgers Daily here on Dodgers Dogs, part of the Dodgers Daily Network. My name is Austin Brubaker. I am your host for this evening. Casey, who normally does this, my wonderful co-host that has created and brought Dodgers Daily to life, he's out fishing tonight. He's going to have a good time. Actually, I have no idea if he's fishing or not, but that is his excuse. Mondays are his off day, so Mondays are the day that I get to step in and fill in for you guys. And what a day to step in and fill for you guys. Today, the Dodgers, early this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning on Pacific time, the Dodgers played an exhibition game, their last one against the Korean national team, and they performed pretty well. There's some exciting things that happened, and because that game took place, the Dodgers are now on the cusp of the regular season. We are, what, 34, 35 hours away from it's time to play Dodgers baseball and have Dodgers baseball actually mean something as opposed to the exhibition, the spring training games. It's here. The Dodgers are not only in Korea, they've gotten through the two exhibition games. Their season, the 2024 season, is about to take place, and I couldn't be more excited to be here on Dodgers Dogs, part of the Dodgers Daily Network, to talk about this and so much more with you guys tonight. You guys are amazing. I know we had a great live stream on Friday, Casey and I, when we were kind of debating whether or not to go on. You guys showed up and stepped up, and so I'm excited to do this again here tonight. Just going to be me here tonight, so I'm happy to answer your questions. We'll be talking about this team. We'll be talking about their performance today and the past couple of days in Korea. We'll also be talking about some spring breakout. I know Casey posted and highly recommend you go and watch that video that he posted yesterday, Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, whenever he posted it, on spring breakout. He did a little bit in-depth feature on each one of the guys that stepped up and performed. I want to give some of my two cents on that performance as well. And as the first question rolled in, David E. says, "Hey Austin, tell me more about Patrick Copen. Looked great in spring training breakout game." Now, I'm not going to try to trick anybody. That was the first time that I had ever seen Patrick Copen pitch. Just like many of you guys, he was a seventh round pick, I believe, in the 2023 draft out of Marshall. And there really wasn't a whole lot to go off of him. Pitched just a couple of outings in Rancho. He performed incredibly well. Wasn't somebody that I was anticipating joining the Dodgers prospects game for their showcase, but he came out there, pitched two innings, and struck out four batters, and he looked really good, really dominant, to the point where there is a very serious question as far as where does Patrick Copen start. Does he start in Rancho? That would be my guess, is he starts in Rancho. Although with the velocity that he's showing, don't be surprised if he makes it up to Great Lakes pretty soon. He's got really great stuff. Casey actually wrote a great story about him shortly after he was drafted during this offseason. Had an interview with him as well back in November. Patrick Copen, long, tall, and talented. He has very good velo, and we saw the stuff on display. Doesn't have the hair that he used to have, but I don't know a whole lot about Patrick Copen. Very small, 3-4 inning sample size in professional baseball, but he is going to be somebody to keep an eye on and somebody that the Dodgers very clearly think highly of him. He joined the Dodgers in their prospect game, and not only was he on the roster, the Dodgers decided to highlight him and give him two innings on the scale of a Jared Karros or some of the other pitchers, a Justin Robleski. Which, how good is Robo? How good is Justin Robleski? You guys got a chance to see that. He is on a very serious high trajectory. The stuff is there. The velo is there. In that first inning, he got 7 or 8 swings and misses. In the prospect showcase, Justin Robleski, you saw the dominant stuff. The fastball was unhittable at times, and then he would throw in some of the breaking stuff. He made the dynamic, electric play on defense going back behind him. Justin Robleski is going to be a force in this league. Watch out for him. We've been talking about him quite a bit, and I got a chance to see him all of last year. Justin Robleski only got better as time went on, and he became the most reliable pitcher for the Loons down the stretch. And he has a long story coming back from injury, coming back a little bit, a mid-round guy. He has similar trajectory. Now, when I say this, I'm not saying that they are the exact same pitchers, because they are not. And there's very clear differences. This other guy has a little bit more strikeouts, at least in his performance in the minor league. But as far as the trajectory that he has, and you see the big stuff that he has, trajectory-wise, very similar or a little bit reminiscent of Tarek Skubal's rise. Not saying that he's going to be Tarek Skubal at all. There are very clear differences. Justin Robleski isn't as tall. But you talk about that high velo as a starter, and you see a lot of the dominant stuff that Justin Robleski has. There is a lot to be excited about with him. So excited to be here, Dodgers Dogs. This is going to be your show, so we'll be talking about what you guys want to talk about. It's just me here tonight. Casey is out fishing. We'll talk a little bit about Dodgers and spring breakout, because I have a lot of thoughts on that. And there's, the Dodgers prospects, the Dodgers system continues to remain strong. They displayed that on Saturday. So Justin Nama says, Austin, talk about Hyesung Kim, the Korean shortstop they were scouting today. That was actually my first time, similar to Patrick Copen. I don't get to watch every single baseball game, so that was actually my first time seeing him play the game. But just looking at some of his numbers, just as you commented it right up before I go on to the show, last year he performed pretty well. It looks like he's a very high batting average type guy. Through the course of his 7 seasons on the KBO, he's hit .300 on base percentage of .360, slugging of .393 with an OPS of .753. Last year hit .335, .396, and .446 in the KBO. Hyesung Kim, the infielder out of the Korean Baseball Organization, or the KBO. I actually don't know what the acronym is for. A lot of walks, not as many strikeouts, so there's a lot to be excited about there. I don't know a whole lot about him to give too much of a breakdown for Hyesung Kim. Keep watching the KBO, though. I know the Dodgers won today, and that's great. They've still got a lot of talent in that league. They got a lot of talent overseas. The Dodgers should be scouting in the KBO. They should be scouting in Japanese leagues. They should be scouting all over the world to try to get as much talent as possible. I know they've gotten guys from Australia before. We've seen that with a Cameron Gibbons. They've gotten guys from all over the world, from Japan, from Korea with a Hung Il Choi, from the Dominican Republic, from down in South America. There is talent, baseball talent, all over the world, so the Dodgers should be doing their scouting. And Hyesung Kim, very productive player in his time in the KBO. The KBO has a ton of talent, and we got to see at least a little bit of that on display for the Dodgers game today. BC is joining us tonight. Thank you so much for joining. One Eye Dragon, thank you for joining as well as Carlos Garcia. As well, Justin Lamas, why didn't they have Hong Seok Jang pitch in his home country? That's a good question. The Dodgers have a certain travel squad that they take overseas. It's not like they're traveling with all of the minor league players, or they're taking all of the guys over into the South Korea. A lot of the guys are still back in Camelback Ranch. A lot of the guys are still taking instructions at the minor league level. The Dodgers only traveled with 31 players. And those 31 players are guys that are right on the cusp of making the major leagues, or close to the major league roster. Yang isn't close to the major league roster. At least the Dodgers aren't seriously considering him to be added to the major league roster. So he is kept down for now. You could ask the same question for a guy like a Hung Il Choi, who is also from Korea. Same answer there. They're keeping him in minor league camp, getting them ready for opening day for the minor league side, which is important to have. These guys need a lot of development. These guys need to be in the system and be around the best coaches in minor league baseball. I think that's something that is important for their growth. We saw it with a guy like a Hung Il Choi in Driveline, in some of these programs that he's a part of. He's starting to regain some of that velocity. So instead of going from a low 90s type pitcher, If he can get up to closer to 93, 94, and 95, that can be game changer for him. And this is part of the process of this minor league system, working on developing, working on adding different skills to your repertoire. And they're going to keep working on it. Same with Zhang as well. So not pitching in Korea would have been amazing. Perhaps there's future opportunities for Choi and Zhang as well as they continue through their journey. But it was just for guys that are close to MLB ready. And boy, how good was Gavin Stone today? We saw him pitch 3 1/3 innings with 8 strikeouts. I don't know if I've seen that in Gavin Stone in quite a while. I saw that quite a bit when he in 2022, when that best pitcher in minor league baseball, and that's not much of an exaggeration at all. He was phenomenal during his 2022 season. That version of Gavin Stone was incredible. We got to see a glimpse of that version of Gavin Stone today. He was getting swings and miss stuff. His changeup remains dominant, but it's the rest of his stuff that was absolutely amazing, absolutely incredible. There's an account on Twitter that I follow who does a lot of stuff that gets a little bit deep into the Stuff Plus, and he has his own model for measuring Stuff Plus. If you don't know what Stuff Plus is, it is a quantitative measure to how good your stuff is or how good an individual pitch is. And what it takes into account, it takes the horizontal and vertical break, it takes the spin rate, it takes velocity, looks at what an optimal pitch shape is, and tries to put that in a number that is simple for an audience to look at. So it's on the same scale of a statistic like a WRC+. 100 is league average, and anything above that is better than league average. Anything below that is below league average. And Gavin Stone had really good stuff today. So I'm going to go ahead and share the screen really quick so you can get a little bit of a picture of what TJ Stats, Thomas Nestico, was able to say about Gavin Stone and his stuff today. And this is just his stuff right here. Gavin Stone, his stuff, had a 108 on his fastball. His sinker had a 109. His slider had a 108 stuff plus. All of these at least at 100 or more. So that is really good, really solid. And I'm sorry, I put the browser source in there. I'll try to fix that for this next time. That is really good, really solid stuff for Gavin Stone. And that is an improvement of what he had in 2023 at the major league level. His stuff continues to grow. His stuff continues to get better. And the changes that Gavin Stone made during the offseason, becoming a little bit more east and west pitcher, have really started to pay off to where today it was announced, or Gavin Stone was able to state, Dave Roberts told him, Gavin, you are the fifth starter. And Gavin Stone has earned that opportunity to be the fifth starter. And if he's able to become the pitcher that was promised, if he's going to be able to become the pitcher that we saw him be in 2022, that's going to be a game changer for the Dodgers. And that's just going to add to the depth of this Dodgers. I think a lot of people saw some of Gavin Stone's performance in 2023 and kind of wrote him off a little bit. And I know that fuels Gavin Stone. I know that he wants to prove a lot of the doubters wrong. I know he wants to be that guy that can be relied upon, that can be overlooked, yet he is effective and dominant. And Gavin Stone has a chance to prove that. He was able to showcase his skills during spring training. Now if he's able to establish himself as a major league level pitcher, what are you going to do when Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw are healthy, ready to go, with a Dustin May ready to go? That creates a great, great problem for the Dodgers to have. The more solid, quality MLB-level pitchers that you have, the better your organization is, and that creates options to where if you needed to trade a starter for a shortstop, you can do that. If you need to trade a starter for a closer, you can do that. If you need to trade a starter for an outfielder or whatever area of need, you can do that. Having Gavin Stone be that fifth starter is essential, and having him be successful is going to be really awesome. So I'm excited to see the growth that Gavin Stone is able to go on during this next couple of months when he is the fifth starter for however long that is. Be rooting for Gavin Stone. The changes that he have made, it is part of the process. Trust the Dodgers process. They are the best, and they know exactly what they need to do to try to get these guys over the top. Get these guys to a place where they can be really dominant. They can be really effective. And so Gavin Stone, fifth starter, couldn't be more excited for Gavin. Really cool guy and somebody that has earned and deserved that spot. So Gavin Stone is your fifth starter. We'll go ahead and get back into the comments section right here. Bryce M says they don't need a sixth starter. They can use that slot for a bullpen game. I think that is correct. And I think that's something that Casey and I have been on the same path with as far as a sixth starter. I think it's very difficult eliminating another bullpen option unless you have a lot of guys that can provide length out of the bullpen, in which case you can do a bullpen type game, or you can do exactly what the Dodgers did today. If you aren't completely familiar with the way the Dodgers structured today's game, today was a type of game that the Dodgers implement often in the minor leagues, and it was a piggyback game. Bobby Miller, who pitched pretty well, gave up some hits, gave up some, a little bit of hard contact, yet was still has dominant stuff, and his stuff plus was even better than Gavin Stone's stuff plus. We'll go ahead and get into that in just a minute. Bobby Miller started off the game, pitched about five innings, which is what the goal for Bobby Miller was. Then Gavin Stone took over and pitched another good solid chunk of innings. So if you have two pitchers that have that are able to pitch two solid chunks of innings, that's what a piggyback start is. And we saw this a lot through the course of the minor leagues, going back to guys like a Clayton Beater would do a piggyback start when he was part of the Dodgers organization. Or I saw a lot of Kyle Hurt and Lyle Lockhart piggyback starts when they were with the Great Lakes Loons in the Dodgers organization. Or last year when Tulsa had all these great pitchers to try to fit them, both of them in, they could have piggyback starts. So we saw both of those guys in a piggyback type outing. If the Dodgers end up in a situation where they have a lot of these young arms that are good, that are talented, that need experience, this is a way to get them some necessary experience. So I think right now a six starter isn't likely to be added to the fold. I think they're going to go with the five starters and have some of these guys, a Ryan Yarbrough and a Michael Grove, be those long inning type pitchers. Or they could be in a piggyback type situation with a James Paxton or with a Gavin Stone or with a Bobby Miller or with any of these one of these other guys to give some of the other bullpen's arms rest. Having that guy who can go length out of the pen, give you some innings, opens up some flexibility and gives your other bullpen arms some rest. So I think today you got a little bit of a glimpse of the piggybacks type start, which we've seen a little bit implemented from the Dodgers. With the amount of arms that have grown up as starters who need innings at the big league level, I expect this to be implemented throughout the regular season at various point of time. So when a Kyle Hurt gets called up, I expect piggyback outings with Kyle Hurt. When a Landon Knack gets called up, I expect piggyback outings with Landon Knack as well. I think this is a really cool, unique aspect to give pitchers innings and length as they come out of the bullpen. So, great question. Definitely something to be looking an eye out as we continue here. Dodgers Dogs, part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Could be more excited to be here tonight. Nando, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Stone looks more confident on the mound now. I think that is a great way to put it, and I think that is something that is important to remember with Gavin Stone. He came into last year in a desperate situation for the Dodgers, where the Dodgers desperately needed more pitchers. It was the same thing with a Bobby Miller last year. Bobby Miller was not performing results-wise at the minor league level when he got called up, and this was something that was addressed during the broadcast tonight. He had a 5-something ERA or close to 5 ERA at the minor league level to start last season. Yet the Dodgers, because of the injuries that they were dealing with, had to call up a Bobby Miller, and he was able to perform. Same situation with Gavin Stone last year, yet I think his stuff got ambushed, and he was trying to dance around the zone and be perfect with some of his other pitches, so then he can use that changeup, and then he became over-reliant on the changeup, and things didn't work out. Now Gavin Stone, I think with some of the changes and the adjustments that he's made to his stuff, he has become much more confident of a pitcher. He has become much more reliant and trusting of his stuff. And we saw that on display where he blew fastballs by hitters for a strikeout. He was able to get nasty swings and misses with his changeup, which is devastating if he's able to get some of the other pitches in the zone. Gavin Stone is looking more confident, and he's looking like a major league pitcher, which is why on Shohei Ohtani's Dodger team, Gavin Stone has a role. And if you're Gavin Stone, that's got to feel good. You got to feel proud about that, yet hungry to not just have a spot on a major league club. You had that last year, to have a little bit more success this time around. And I fully expect Gavin Stone to continue his journey through his professional career, starting to have some more success. He is a big league level pitcher, and we're about to see why in 2024 for this Dodgers team. Angelo, thank you very much for joining us. I'm here live Monday nights just by myself tonight. There's a Korean channel that replayed about 20 minutes of the Dodgers game versus the Korea team. Yep, you can also watch it on MLB.tv. I know not everybody has MLB.tv because of the blackout restrictions. It is available there, or there's different highlights on MLB.com. Highly recommend you watch those as well. Hey, Nando, there's some interaction back and forth with the chat. Hepatitis, see you later. Thank you very much for joining us as well. And I got to scroll back up because I got a little bit lost in the chat. We'll go ahead and look right here. It appeared to be a good game. The Korean fans cheered for both teams. Yeah. How cool is the environment with baseball in Korea? I think it is really cool. And I think Major League Baseball, and I get it, the Dodgers might be a little bit of a disadvantage coming back to America and trying to get re-amped up back going into the regular season. This is great for the game of baseball, playing in Korea. Hopefully they'll be playing in Japan sometime soon or in different areas across the world. Growing the game that we love to different parts of the world is phenomenal, and I'm glad Major League Baseball is doing this. Korea's got some great fans. They got a great environment, and they're about to watch regular season baseball here in about 34 hours, something like that. We are getting good. We are getting really close. Carlos Garcia, Stone look electric. When I dragon, some of the Korean players look totally legit. Yeah, no, KBO has some really good, solid players. Dan Inspiration, where is Montgomery and Snell going to land? Great question. I'm not anticipating them coming to the Dodgers. I know we've done shows on it in the past where we've talked about Jordan Montgomery. We've talked about a possibility of a Blake Snell. I think the Dodgers are confident, and they've, with this news that Gavin Stone is their fifth starter, not saying that they can't change their mind, but I think they are confident with the pitching staff and depth that they have in this system, with the depth that they have at the minor league level still, and with the options that they have in starting pitcher, where I don't see it as an option for the Dodgers. As far as where they will land, it sounds possibly like Blake Snell is getting more and more rumors to go to the San Francisco Giants. No, that's unfortunate for the Dodgers. Right now, the latest rumors have been, oh, he's going to be a Houston Astro, which would not have been good for the Dodgers. Or now he's going to be a San Francisco Giant, which I think is probably the most likely landing spot, unless the Yankees decide to get desperate and go after a starting pitcher, because they are going to be missing out on a Gerrit Cole. So Blake Snell, I am anticipating and getting ready for him to be a San Francisco Giant. Jordan Montgomery, that's a real question, because I think it's going to be after a Blake Snell sign. So I have no idea where Jordan Montgomery is going to go. It's going to go to whatever team does not get a Blake Snell. So we'll have to wait and see for both of them. They're not going to be a Dodger, though. I am not anticipating. Although, It's been the greatest offseason for the Dodgers and the teams in the club's history. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. So we'll have to keep going. In the comment section, Carlos Garcia, Skubal plays for the Tigers. Yeah, Tarek Skubal, which I had mentioned. Again, Justin Robleski is not Tarek Skubal. I'm not trying to make that comparison. I'm just saying two guys that dealt with injuries, hard-throwing lefties, that have that one rose up through the system really quick. I believe Justin Robleski can rise up through this Dodgers system really quick to where I stated it on a previous show when we talked about bold predictions for the upcoming season. I think he has a chance to be knocking on the door for the Dodgers coming up in towards the end of 2024. I don't think he makes it just because of the roster situation, but I think he's going to be fighting for it because Justin Robleski is legit. So we're going to continue to go through the comments section right here. Angelo mentioned something about Roky Sasaki. I think he has a potential to be a Dodger in the future and definitely something that the Dodgers are looking for into the future. So, update on Blake Treinen, says Dan Inspiration. I don't have any updates on Blake Treinen. It sounds like it seems to be okay. He made the trip over to South Korea. So, I would anticipate him being at least somewhat healthy for them to be able to make that call and send him over to Korea. So when he's going to be pitching again, I would guess sometime fairly soon. We'll have to wait until the Dodgers announce their roster for the Korea series to make that call. Because if he's on the roster, you would expect him to be ready to go to pitch. So I don't have any update right now on Blake Treinen. They avoided the worst case scenario. Doesn't sound like anything is broken. We'll have to wait and see when he does pitch again for the Dodgers. Denard, thank you very much for joining us today. Hi, Austin. Hopefully you're doing well. Hopefully you're doing well too, Denard. Thanks so much for joining us. Angelo, they should give out Dodgers gear to as many fans in Korea as possible. That'd be a great idea to try to spread the Dodgers fandom in Korea. Although, with the team that the Dodgers have, and with the Dodgers having as many superstars as they have, how could not everybody in Korea be fans of this Dodgers team? So I don't think they have to give out a whole bunch of gear. I think fans are just going to be lining up to buy stuff. But no, that's a good idea to try to help grow the fan base in Korea, because you want to make the Dodgers brand not just famous in Los Angeles. You want it to be famous all around the world, which the Dodgers, with the amount of money that they have spent, they have started to do that already. So they are a very good organization, the best organization in the game of baseball right now, and they are continuing to do great things. So Hepatitis C later. Stone is impressing. That is absolutely right. Gavin Stone is looking incredibly impressive. Same with Showtime LA. Gavin's looks great. Gavin does look great right now. So he is doing amazing right now. Denard, Kyle Hurt was fire pitching the last two innings on Saturday. Plus, he covers for struggling Ryan Brazier. Kyle Hurt. What can I say about Kyle Hurt? Kyle Hurt is phenomenal. He's incredibly talented. He strikes out just about everybody, and he has done a ton to put him in position to be on this Dodgers club, to where Dave Roberts even stated that don't be surprised if Kyle Hurt makes the team for the Korea series. Now, there's a little bit of a attachment to that for the Korea series. I don't know. I believe there's a little bit of a difference between the series in Korea, which is the two games against the Padres, versus what happens when you make it back to the United States. For example, a pitcher like a James Paxton, who is going to be on this club on the 26-man roster for opening day when the Dodgers play against the Cardinals, he did not make the trip over to Korea. Nothing to get overly concerned with. But they also only need two starting pitchers to play in the regular season game. So could you see a Kyle Hurt take over for a James Paxton spot just for this series and have him send back down? I don't know, because Kyle Hurt is looking on fire, as Denard says. His strikeout rate was 40% or close to 40% last year in the minor leagues. He can do that if he can do that anywhere close to the level, even if he can do it in the closer to 30% range at the major leagues, which is a big ask. That is incredible. That's a lot of strikeouts. That would be incredibly impressive for Kyle Hurt. He's continuing his journey on his way to the big leagues, and Dodgers fans should be excited about him, whether he is a bullpen arm or whether, don't forget, Kyle Hurt is a starting pitcher. He could be in that piggyback type outings, give you 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe five innings per outing, and can be really dominant, really effective, and you can have him in that piggyback type environment. Kyle Hurt is looking really, really good. What he did on Saturday is just a little bit of a taste of that. And I fully expect Ryan Brazier to be able to bounce back. We talk a lot about the versatility, or the volatility, I should say, of relief pitchers. So there is some concern with a Ryan Brazier, what he's able to do, because relievers, year to year, it's like a roller coaster. Some years they're good, some years they're not as good. It is one of the most, if not the most difficult position to predict in the game of baseball. I fully expect Ryan Brazier to find his way back and be good and effective against left-handed hitters, which is what he is called to do, because there's not a lot of dominant left-handed pitching options for the Dodgers. They're going to need a Ryan Brazier to step up. So just giving up a run in an exhibition type outing doesn't mean that you're going to have a disappointing or a bad year. Ryan Brazier is still going to be a good pitcher for the Dodgers, or at least that's what I'm anticipating right now. And the Dodgers wouldn't have given him a 2-year deal if they weren't anticipating that as well. Nando, if Stone has a breakout year, the Dodgers rotation is going to be scary. Yeah, it is. And it's going to continue to add talent, too. If Gavin Stone, this is what I was talking about earlier, if Gavin Stone is part of that picture, if Gavin Stone is part of that equation for the Dodgers, this team in this rotation is legit. You have a Tyler Glass now, who we've seen through the course of this spring training, has been dominant and effective. He's going to be the game one starter for the Dodgers. Game two starter is going to be Yoshinobu Yamamoto, which we've seen struggle a little bit. The stuff is there, and he's going to be going through a slight adjustment period, but once that adjustment period is over, he's going to get a lot of major league hitters out. He's going to make them look foolish because the stuff is phenomenal. The Dodgers put their money where their mouth is, and they said, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, you are a dominant, effective pitcher, and we fully anticipate you to be a mainstay in this rotation. So you have a great one, too. Bobby Miller as a number three is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. James Paxton, really solid number four, has got a lot of upside and has the hard throwing stuff that you want out of the left side of the mound. Something that, it's not a Jesus Luzardo, but similar-ish type profile. Add in a Gavin Stone, and then you have Walker Buehler, Clayton Kershaw coming back, maybe a Dustin May as well. You could have him go into the bullpen. Then add some of the other talent, like a Kyle Hurt, a Michael Grove, who has pitched well at times this during the spring training, who's going to make the club in Korea. You have other guys like a Landon Knack, who's been pitching pretty well on his way to the major leagues. You have a lot of depth. And that's not to count all of the guys at the lower levels of the minor leagues, like a Justin Robleski, who pitched incredibly well during the spring breakout game. And that is a glimpse of what he did all of last season in Great Lakes. This pitching staff is really deep, and they are trying to build a fortress. They're trying to prevent what cost this team in 2023, which is the pitching staff just buckled and gave out on them. That is not going to happen with this year's club if the Dodgers have anything to do about it. And they have good depth in this system, as we continue to see during the spring breakout game on Saturday. We saw some of the depth, and that's not all of the depth. That's only a small feature. We saw some of the younger guys that haven't even made it past Rancho yet step up and perform against guys that pitch at the AAA, AA, and high A levels. Pitched above, they played well above their competition level. Kendall George, how about that triple that he hit in the alley? How about some of the other plays that he made? If he can hit for that gap power with his speed, he's going to be running all over the place, and he's going to turn those doubles into triples. And even if he just does get a single, he's going to turn singles into doubles with the stolen base that he has with that dominant electric speed. The Dodgers drafted Kendall George in the first round, not to just say, hey, we can draft people of different skill sets. They drafted him for a reason, and he is very good, very talented. Same with Josue De Paula. What can you say about him? A couple of good opposite field hits. Tyrone Lorenzo, who is on Dodgers Daily. There's an interview with Tyrone Lorenzo. Thank you to Trinidad Loaiza, Dodgers 2080, for joining and translating Casey and Tyrone for that interview. He hit a bomb, a moonshot for a home run. That is the power that Tyrone Lorenzo has. 24 home runs at the single-A level at Rancho Cucamonga, which led the California League. He's an incredible talent and perhaps the best catching talent in this system. You also have Dalton Rushing, who went in the game. You got to see him get a base hit, draw a walk as well. I know a lot of people might be down on some of the numbers of Dalton Rushing. Don't just look at batting average. Dig a little bit deeper into Dalton Rushing and understand that he had a 145 WRC plus in 2023. Look at his 18-19% walk percentage that he had at high A. He was really good. And that comes with an 0-for-30 stretch that he had in the middle of the season when he was dealing with an injury. So a lot of people might say, ignore some of Dalton Rushing's numbers. Look at them in context and don't ignore them. Look at them. And if you look past the surface, if you look past the 228 batting average, which was only 5% below league average in the Midwest League, you're going to see an incredible talent. Just watch the games. Watch the clutch hits that he had in the Midwest League Championship, which in Game 1, he had 2 home runs. In Game 3, when the Loons were down to their final out, he hit a 3-run or 2-run home run, whatever it was, to put the Loons within 1. Dalton Rushing is legit talented. We also got to see Jesus Galiz, one of the best, if not the best, defensive catchers in the organization in the game as well. And Yainer Fernandez. Don't forget about Yainer Fernandez. Towards the back of some top 30 list, although watch Yainer Fernandez play the game. It is a little bit different than some of these other guys. He says that he wants to hit a little bit more of those singles and doubles. He provides a little bit of different flexibility or versatility out of the catching position. He can play a great second base. There is actually a play in the Midwest League Championship where Yainer Fernandez made an extraordinary play at second base in the middle of the game. It was an absolute incredible diving stop for Yainer Fernandez. We might actually have to pull this up show you guys in just a minute the play that Yainer Fernandez had. But yeah, he is really good. Don't forget about Yainer Fernandez on the catching position, who is part of this Dodgers system. So we'll get into that in just a minute. We're going to go ahead and actually get back into the comment section, because I haven't been looking into the comment section really quick as well. Yeah, so Nando said if Stone has a breakout year, the Dodgers rotation is going to be scary. Hepatitis, see you later. This is why people got to not be so quick on writing off a prospect. Countless list of good pitchers that struggle their first year, even multiple years, that figure it out. That is an extraordinary comment. Hepatitis, see you later. I think oftentimes we, as fans of baseball, and even as people as in general, want to make initial reactions or very quick reactions. That's why first impressions matter. First impressions matter because it's going to stick out the most. However, while first impressions are important in the game of baseball, they are not the end-all, be-all of an individual player. And in 2010, and I know this isn't the Dodgers, but this is back in my memory, a guy like a Brennan Bosch for the Detroit Tigers had a phenomenal early part of the 2010 season to where he was hitting 340, 400 for a half of a season, where this guy is breaking out. He's going to be Rookie of the Year in the American League. came back down to earth. The reverse can be true for players as well, where a player struggles for a little bit, but then is able to figure things out. And I think we're starting to see that with Gavin Stone. Trust the adjustments, trust the process, and especially with the information of today's game. Back in 2010, there wasn't as much in-depth information as there is today to try to fix some of the areas that you need to fix, to address some of the weaknesses. There is so much data, there's so much information in today's game where guys can use that data, you can use that information to help mold and fix some of the areas of need. It's not just about the scouts eye, although that is important. Data is important as well, and we are starting to get a glimpse of some of the data with some of the stuff plus numbers, with the horizontal vertical movement, with the spin rate, the induced vertical break. All of these different aspects in pitching have revolutionized the game of baseball to where a pitcher like a Gavin Stone, where things didn't work out during his initial stay with the Dodgers, he can start to work things out. So, yes, do not give up on these prospects just because they had a bad stretch or just had a little bit of a bad year. Countless examples of guys who have struggled initially, but you're just seeing a small sample size of who that player is. You're not seeing who that player is going to become. And Gavin Stone and other players can become something great. So push for that. Look for some of that potential. And don't give up on these guys completely if they struggle a little bit. And that goes for a guy like a Miguel Vargas, who I know struggled last year through an extended runtime. There's still reason to believe that Miguel Vargas can be a good big league player. Will he be? And will he have the opportunity to be? That's a different question. We'll have to wait and see. But with these guys, they're still talented. They were really highly ranked, and we saw them have a lot of success for them through the minor leagues. There's a good reason why we were talking about them. So be patient with these guys as they continue through the process. Trust the process. Mr. Seabat says, fire Dave Roberts. Then now we can proceed with the podcast. That's not going to happen. Dave Roberts is going to be the manager of this club in 2024. And it's going to be, we'll have to wait and see how the season ends before we know the fate of Dave Roberts. He's going to be the manager of this club. So unless we want to delay it until the 2024 offseason, we are going to continue on here on Dodgers Dogs, part of the Dodgers Daily Network here tonight. So we're going to continue on with this Justin Lamas, hey Austin, convince us how to have faith in a dude who had a 10 ERA last year. It would depend on which pitcher that you are talking about and how big that sample size is. Also, don't know anything about the underlying statistics with that individual pitcher. So I have no idea who you're talking about. Look at some of the underlying metrics as well. Also, look for some of the adjustments that that pitcher makes and the context of what is going on. Sometimes that is important to know, and I get it. 10 ERA, not a good ERA. Look for some of the underlying metrics. If you have data on the Stuff Plus, look at some of those metrics to see how they fared out. Or try to figure out what they're doing to make adjustments, or try to find good reasons and strengths to be positive and to work on for this individual pitcher. Sometimes the end result is not the best indication of future success, which is why statistics like FIP, XFIP, and Sierra go a long way, because they don't look exclusively at earned run average, which is a result-based statistic. Look for some of those underlying metrics, which is why we talk a lot about strikeout percentage and walk percentage, because they give you a glimpse of something that the pitcher can control. Or if you want to look at other aspects, talk about their in-zone whiff rate or their ability to draw some swings and misses. Look for some of those other areas if you're looking for a hypothetical pitcher, which I'm not sure exactly who you're talking about, with a 10 ERA. Look for some of the positives and understand that if the organization is keeping a guy with that ERA around, there is a reason why they're keeping them around. And it is not just for organizational depth, because the rosters have shrunken even at the minor league level. They've gone from 185, 175 to 165 guys that they can keep on their minor league rosters, that they can keep in their organization, which is a solid decrease. So if the Dodgers are trusting a guy, if the Dodgers are keeping a guy around, look for some of the stuff. There is a reason why the Dodgers would keep around a guy like that. So I don't know exactly who that guy would be. If there was a specific name, I could go a little bit more in depth, especially if I had time to do a little bit more research. But don't just look at the result. Don't just look at the end result of a season. Underlying metrics that can be better predictors of future success are what this organization is looking at. And that is what the revolution in the game of baseball is going through right now. Those other predictors besides end results that can be the best predictors of future success. So we'll go ahead and continue on with some of the comments right here. One Eye Dragon said, good stuff. I got to scroll back up as the comments, in just a little bit of behind the scenes, the comments sometimes jump down towards the end right here. Hepatitis, see you later. Stone as a number five is a luxury. That's absolutely correct. Angelo, last year is dead and gone. It is a new season. You are absolutely right. It is 2024 and the Dodgers are about to begin. Opening day for the Dodgers about to start here in 34, 33, 35 hours, something like that. Bob Student, thank you very much for joining us. I was a doubter, felt he should have gotten shipped instead of Pepio. Which, by the way, best of luck to Ryan Pepio. I'm going to be rooting for him as he continues his major league journey in Tampa Bay, along with guys like a Johnny DeLuca, who I know is injured, along with a Jeff Belge, who is fighting in that system out of the bullpen, and a Nico Holsizer. Does anybody remember Nico Holsizer? Part of the Dodgers system, got traded, I believe, in 2019, but his power that he had on display in 2019 was unreal, phenomenal. At the upper levels, still fighting in that system. Yeah, Gavin Stone, have trust in Gavin Stone. Don't just go based off of a small sample size that we saw from last year. Trust with the results. See some of the stuff that he has. And it's going to be, I think it's going to turn out just fine. And I think Gavin Stone's going to be a big league level pitcher. Denard, Gavin Stone will have a great season. Will shut up last year's doubters. Walker, Kershaw, and Paxton need to take a back seat. We'll have to wait and see what happens with some of those other veteran-level pitchers as Gavin Stone continues on with his major league journey at this level and see what happens from there. Manny Man 5 Dodge, thank you so much for joining us. Stone has been the best thing in spring training. Michael Grove, too. It has been huge to get a fifth starter, especially with Walker Buehler not being ready to go for the start of the season, which I think of the Dodgers were going to do regardless. They wanted to put Walker Buehler in a position to where he could come later in the season and perform in a postseason type environment, or at least have the option for a Walker Buehler to perform later. It has been a revolution for the Dodgers to get a Gavin Stone and a Michael Grove, which I get it. It's spring training. You can't take too much into spring training results because they don't always translate over to the regular season. That has to be kept in mind. But Gavin Stone and Michael Grove, with how they've looked, with some of the signs, with some of the changes that they have made, with the confidence that they are throwing with, that is extremely encouraging. And Gavin Stone's performance today, this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, or I guess later in the game, so 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, with his 3.1 innings and 8 strikeouts, has to give Dodgers fans a ton of hope and has been a great sign for this club. Some very much good news for the Dodgers. Hepatitis, see you later. The longer Snell is out there, the shorter the ask of years he might want on the deal, the more I think Andrew Friedman might swoop in like a hawk and get him. Would certainly be interesting. And that is the only case in which the Dodgers should go after Blake Snell. A lot of underlying metrics don't predict him to be the same Cy Young level pitcher going forward. But in a smaller sample size, when he's 32, 33, 34 years old, he's still going to be a good pitcher at this level. He's still going to be really solid. So if you want to have a Blake Snell on a shorter term deal, go for it. However, The Dodgers don't need to do that. They don't need to give out that type of deal, that type of contract, if they don't want to, because Gavin Stone is looking good, and they got a lot of really good pitchers. Although, if you wanted to trade them for other pieces, maybe that is an option. Or if you just want to prevent the Astros and the Giants, if they're taking too long, and just get as much talent as you can, maybe that is an option. However, I don't think the Dodgers are going to get Blake Snell. As I've said in the past, don't be buying your Blake Snell $400 Dodger jersey. Just not the time yet. Wait for the Dodgers to sign Blake Snell, then you can go ahead and buy it. Denard, Michael Grove was shaky at the beginning of spring training, but he has been solid the last three starts. Perfect swing man. That is right. Michael Grove can be that swing man type pitcher, or, as I've called it in the past, a piggyback type pitcher. I think that is something that he can do. Bob Student says his training staff can do such amazing stuff. Kelsey, do you bet on baseball? Actually, do not bet on baseball. I don't really bet a whole lot. I believe it is legal here in the state of Michigan. If you want to do betting, do it responsibly. However, if you're taking betting advice, don't take it from me. I would probably lose you money. So I don't bet on baseball. I do other avenues and actually spend my money on baseball games. All that money that would go towards betting, which I guess I could theoretically get some of that money back, goes towards me going to the Great Lakes Loons, the high A affiliate of the Dodgers game. So I don't bet on baseball, so go somewhere else if you want for betting advice. But if you want great Dodgers talk, stick around here. Dodgers Dogs, part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Daniel Barry Sports Highlights says, yo, everyone. Thank you very much for joining Daniel Barry Sport Highlights, which apparently I can't say that five times fast. Mr. Seabed has a score prediction for Wednesday's game for opening day. And I challenge you guys, what is your prediction for opening day? Final score prediction, Dodgers versus Padres. Mr. Seabed is going with Dodgers 17, Padres 0 as a final score prediction. I think you're being a little bit too conservative with your prediction, Mr. Seabed. I would anticipate more in the 25 to 30-ish runs for the Dodgers, and the Padres obviously being at 0. So I'm not anticipating that as being my score prediction. However, Mr. Seabed is confident that the Dodgers are going to win. I want to hear your prediction down in the comments section as well. Roy Estrada, thank you very much for joining us as well. Andrew McDaniels, Brubaker, I like the way that rolls off the tongue. Thank you very much for joining us, Andrew. Justin Amas is tired of talking about Montgomery and Snell. I am too. I wish they would sign with an organization and it kind of just be done with. We'll have to wait and see when that happens. Until then, it is going to be a conversation that goes that comes up going forward. Gordon, thank you very much for joining. That Robo kid looked good against the Angels. Yeah, Justin Robleski. If you have not watched Justin Robleski pitch, or if you've not had a chance to see him in action, he is good. He is dominant, high velo, great swing and miss stuff. Struck out, I believe, 28% of hitters in the Midwest League last year. Really good. And he performed similar to what I talk about, Dalton Rushing performing the best when it mattered the most. Justin Robleski had two of his best starts when it mattered most. One in game one, which actually in Fort Wayne, which actually the Loons didn't win. I was there in Fort Wayne for that game one. It was not because of Justin Robleski that the Loons didn't win. They were good. They were solid. And Justin Robleski was dominant that game. And he was even better during his four-inning performance in Game 2 of the Midwest League Championship in Cedar Rapids that I got to go and watch. He was even better. Yet his outing got cut unfairly, I would say, by the rainout that shortened Game 2 and ultimately led to there being a doubleheader the next game. But Robleski, if you have not had a chance and didn't watch those games live, go back and watch those two performances. Game 1, September 12th, 2023, against Fort Wayne. And on September, I believe it was technically 19th, but the game concluded on September 20th, 2023, versus Cedar Rapids, the first game, game two of that series. Justin Robleski is dominant. He's going to do great things. I expect him to be in Double-A Tulsa to start this season, and I expect him to move up quickly to Oklahoma City if he continues to show the dominant stuff that he has. And I know with his work ethic, he's going to continue to do that. There's some talk a little bit about where some of these guys might go. Maybe the Red Sox. Angelo says Rodon looked good today. It was cool to see Joe Torre come out to get the ball for him. I'm no Yankees fan. Certainly am not. Funny story for you guys. I despise the Yankees growing up. And talking about betting a little bit earlier, one of the reasons why I don't bet is because when I was 10 years old, I was foolish enough to bet on the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving Sunday against the New England Patriots. And I bet the Lions were going to win. I think I was going to get two Mountain Dews if I won. And if I lost, I had to call my Uncle Doug, which shout out to Uncle Doug. And actually, shout out to my Uncle Mike, whose birthday it is today. I had to call my Uncle Doug and tell him that I love the Yankees and I love Derek Jeter. And of course, the Lions lost to Tom Brady and the Patriots. And so that was one of the most painful days of my life. But it was cool to see Joe Torre come out and get the ball. Carlos Rodon looking good. Certainly not rooting for the Yankees, but there's some guys on the Yankees team that I do like. Clayton Beter, who is fighting for a fifth rotation spot with Garrett Cole out. Yorbit Vivas, who is really one injury away from being called up to the Yankees and has had a really nice spring. Also, Caleb Ferguson and Victor Gonzalez, part of that Yankees bullpen as well. Certainly no Yankees fan, but have to respect the history that they have. Hepatitis C, Elena Boris sucks so bad in terms of entertainment. Bro is dragging this out. Absolutely is. He is great at what he does, though. And he gets his clients in the past a lot of money. Seems to be the strategy that he's doing right now might not be working out as well as it has in the past. BC says the Lakers are in action tonight. Good for the Lakers. Go hope the Lakers win. Actually don't watch a whole lot of basketball, so I'll leave that to you to watch the Yankees in action. So Mr. Seabat says Blake Snell to the Giants and Montgomery to the Yankees. That could be what happens. I think that is a possibility. Brett Rose, thank you very much for joining. If Stone continues to look this good in the regular season, it'll allow the Dodgers to take their time with Walker and not rush him, and that is huge. If they can take their time and make sure that Walker Buehler is healthy, ready to go for the postseason. Remember, Walker Buehler is going to be a free agent after this season. But if he can be dominant, if he can be effective, and he can be ready to go for the postseason, that would be huge for the Dodgers. And that would just add another weapon to their staff, another weapon that they could use in the bullpen. And it would be massive for this club. Nando, Austin, what are your thoughts on Ohtani possibly playing the outfield? I've never really been a huge fan of it right now. I get it. Shohei Ohtani being a permanent DH clogs up some of the versatility that you could have on your club. And I have no doubt that Shohei Ohtani could be a good outfielder. I'm just concerned because I want Shohei Ohtani to be able to pitch going forward in 2025. No, he's not going to be pitching in 2024. Unless something happens. But no, he's not going to be pitching in 2024. I don't want anything to happen to his arm. And I know the organization is going to go through all of the precautions. We'll have to wait and see how his arm is doing. I think the Dodgers understand this and are going to be as cautious as they possibly can be. Because they don't have to have Shohei Ohtani be an outfielder. Even if he really wants to be an outfielder. Although that outfield of Ohtani, Outman and Teoscar Hernandez would be great in the outfield. I don't think it has to be done right now, and I wouldn't do it unless I am 100% confident that his arm is going to be healthy and hold up, which right now I can't say that with 100% confidence, so I'm not fully on board. However, I trust the organization, and they wouldn't put Shohei Ohtani in a bad risk environment where there's no real good positive outcomes. They're only going to do this if they believe that this is in the best interest of the club, of the organization, if this is going to be best for Shohei Ohtani. So the Dodgers know more than I do. They have too much money on the line to where they're going to make the appropriate smart decision. Roy Estrada's given us some confidence for some of his pitchers. He is 100% confident in Glasnow and Gavin Stone. And how much of a turn of events is that confidence 100% in Gavin Stone? I don't think a lot of people would have said the same thing at the start of spring training. 90% in Yamamoto and Paxton, 75% in Miller, 50% in Phillips and Brazier. All the others, the jury is out. We'll have to wait and see how confident you are and how they're able to perform going forward. Showtime LA, Lux looks much better. It's been good to see Gavin Lux continue to make his strides going forward and play with at least a little bit of some confidence during this week. We've seen him make a couple of good, solid defensive plays. We haven't seen the real struggles that we saw in Camelback Ranch with Gavin Lux, which is encouraging to see. Also encouraging is that play that Max Muncy made at third base today. That was great. And that is the type of play that a good defensive third baseman makes. If Max Muncy can be even closer to a league average defender at third base, his value that he brings at the plate is going to make his value overall as a player just that much more. And if Gavin Lux can do somewhat of the same with some of the dynamic play that he has in the nine hole of this order, it's going to be really good. So the past couple of days have been good for Gavin Lux and his confidence. And with the Dodgers optioning Miguel Vargas, Gavin Lux is going to be on this club opening day, barring some type of trade that this organization makes, which there has been no indication, no rumblings that they're going to make such trade, which we'll have to wait and see. Let's see. Justin Lamas, Austin, what are you having for breakfast for the Korea Games, beer or coffee? Let's just say that I don't think my day job, my work job, which I love and I do I thoroughly enjoy the people that I work with, I don't think they'd be too happy if I was drinking a beer for the Korean series and drinking even before work started. So I would have to say probably not a beer. I might have like a muffin or a Pop-Tart or something for that Korea series. So no, it's not beer. No, it's not coffee. Or if I have to get something to drink like that, maybe a Dr. Pepper. I do enjoy a good Dr. Pepper. Hepatitis, see you later. I hope Sheehan is all right. How much time do you think he misses? I don't know exactly how much time he's going to miss. I sure hope that he's going to be all right. I know he's dealt with injuries in the past. Casey has talked about it quite a bit. I got to see it firsthand in 2022, where he started game two of the Great Lakes Loon season in 2022, was dominant and effective. And I actually, if you go back and watch that game, I don't remember the exact date. It was the second game of the season, April 9th through April 10th, 2022. I was actually sitting right behind home plate. You can see me through a lot of the game. Emmett Sheehan was amazing. Then he missed the next month and a half with an injury, came back, struggled a little bit, but after that struggle, he became one of the most dominant pitchers in the league that year. So it could be a little while before we see Emmett Sheehan. I don't have any inside information, so I don't know how long it's going to be. But I have full expectations and full confidence that when he does come back, he's going to be really good. Mr. Seabad says Kyle Hurt could fight Chuck Norris in last 2 minutes. That's pretty funny. More Kyle Hurt and Chuck Norris jokes in the comment section would be pretty hilarious. Carlos Garcia, how much confidence in Vesia? I think he is going to be on this roster for the Dodgers. I don't have a ton of confidence in Alex Vesia, meaning that in comparison to a lot of the arms that the Dodgers have in their bullpen, he's one of those guys that I don't know exactly how to think of. There's been some stuff plus numbers that have come back actually pretty good for an Alex Vesio, which might indicate that there is a lot in there for him, yet we've seen some shaky performance with him. He still does have an option to the minor league level, so if he does struggle for the Dodgers, they could option him down. I don't know. I don't have a ton of confidence yet. Be patient with Alex Vesia. He's worked with the Dodgers in the past, and right now he is the guy, at least lefty out of the bullpen, besides Ryan Yarbrough, that they're going to have to rely on. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. If things don't go right, trust this organization to fix it. They can go out and trade for a Tanner Scott, who we've been talking about for months now here on Dodgers Daily, or another left-handed reliever who is good, who is dominant and effective. We'll have to wait and see what happens with Alex Vesia. Hepatitis, see you later. If the Dodgers do the unlikely and somehow get Snell on a two-year deal, it would be cool if they can move Grove for a Tanner Scott. Miami needs starting pitcher, and Scott is on his last year. You could see something like that, where one of the Dodgers' young, talented starting pitchers gets moved to a team that is in desperate need of starting pitchers, like perhaps the Marlins. Not saying that's going to happen, but that is a great idea, Hepatitis C later, because you're looking at some of the needs, not just of the Dodgers, but out of other clubs as well. You address an area of need for the Marlins, which they desperately need pitching right now, which means Jesus Luzardo probably is not on the trade block. But a Tanner Scott, last year of his deal, could be if the Marlins get some pitching in return. Probably need another pitcher in there as well to get that done. Although Michael Grove for a Tanner Scott, it would depend on what the Marlins think, but could be a fair deal. Again, we are here live, Dodgers Dogs, just going through the comments right now. Craig Osterberg, thank you very much for joining. You are amazing. We appreciate every single time that you're able to tune in. There's a lot of comments. We're back and forth with Craig Osterberg. Let's see. Continuing right here. Showtime LA. Austin, other than Bobby, who else throws triple digits in the organization? That's a really good question. We got to see that a little bit in the spring breakout. It was actually the first time that I got to see Edgardo Henriquez, who went out and closed the game. He pitched close to that triple digit mark. Just looking and thinking about some of the arms that were at Great Lakes that I got to see last year, a guy like a Jake Pilarski throws triple digits. A guy like a Carlos De Los Santos, who was in the organization, pitched for Great Lakes last year, can throw real heat and can get up to that 100. A guy like a Ronan Kopp, I don't think he can get quite to triple digits. He can hit 98, 99, and especially if they utilize him out of the bullpen, I think he can get close to, if not to that triple digit mark. Ronan Kopp is absolutely incredible, and I think he's going to be pushing for that mark. There's a lot of other guys that throw hard velo. Juan Murillo is another guy you got to see a lot in spring training, throws elite dominant stuff. And there's a lot of guys that I'm missing over right now. Those are some of the guys in this system out of the bullpen that I got to see last year that throw heat, that throw velocity. Justin Robleski, I know he doesn't necessarily throw 100. I did see him get up to 97, 98 last year, though. He can throw some serious gas. A lot of guys in this system are really great. And so we have actually right here, Carey Brubaker, who is actually my grandfather, is in the chat right now, says, doing great, Austin. So thank you very much, Grandpa. Very much appreciate that as well. And thank you very much for joining us. We actually had a chance to go hit some golf balls out on Saturday, him and I. And I'm not the greatest golfer, but we'll get to there. We just got to hit some in the dome. It's too cold to hit golf balls outside right now. It's actually snowing here in the state of Michigan. Who knew the snow could come back? So for a guy like the next comment addressed to Tyrone Lorenzo, who very likely is going to be joining the Great Lakes Loons here in a couple of weeks, get ready for the snow, because you're going to be getting some of that as you come to the state of Michigan. I'm going to be there joining along with this Loons team. I'm actually going to, I believe, 7 of the first 8 games. I won't be going to the Sunday game opening weekend, but I'll be going Friday, Saturday against the Tin Caps and Dow Diamond. And also Tuesday through Saturday, I'll be driving an hour and a half from my house to Lansing and back every single game, every single day for those games. So I couldn't be more excited about that. Gordon Ames is impressed with Tyrone Lorenzo. Yeah, Tyrone Lorenzo is really great. He could be the first baseman of the future. However, I think that is part of his versatility because there's a lot to like with him at the catching position. I know Casey likes to point this out quite a bit. According to Dylan Nishotka, who was the hitting coach of the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes last year, now is the hitting coach of the Tulsa Drillers this year. Tyrone Lorenzo posted a sub-1.8 pop time in-game. That is beyond elite pop time. And as he continues to grow through the system, he can be a really good, solid catcher to where if he can spend at least a little bit of time at the catching position and some at first base, you have positional versatility at the catching position, which allows you to have more than just two catchers. If you have a Tyrone Lorenzo who can play catcher in the first base, and you have a Yainer Fernandez who can play catcher and second base, that allows you to play multiple catchers in a game and allows you more and more roster flexibility. We'll have to see what happens with Diego Cartaya going forward. I still have all faith in the world in Diego and still believe that he's an incredible talent. Daryl Jackson, I was actually impressed with many of the prospects in the spring breakout game. Yeah, it was incredible to watch. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, the Dodgers prospects won 8-1. A lot of great talent on display. The pitching was effective. It was dominant. We got to see a little bit of Jackson Ferris, came over in the Michael Busch trade, as well as Zaire Hope, who was the other part of the Michael Busch trade. We got to see them in action. Both of them performed really, really well. Patrick Copen, as we talked about it at the top of the show. Jared Karros, who out-dueled, along with Peter Hubeck, Jackson Jobe, who, if you haven't been paid attention, is one of the, if not the best pitching prospect in the game of baseball. Peter Hubeck and Jared Karros out-dueled Jackson Jobe twice in the span of 1 week to eliminate the West Michigan Whitecaps last year. That is beyond impressive. He also had a great performance in Game 3, an elimination game against the Fort Wayne Tin Caps to give the Great Lakes Loons the win. So all of those guys, impressive. We got to see Josue De Paula. We got to see Dalton Rushing, Tyrone Lorenzo. Kendall George had an amazing game. Along with some other guys that showed up in the game, Jesus Galiz. We got to see Noah Miller, who came from the Manny Margot trade. All of these guys are really good. And we got to see a glimpse of what the Dodgers system has. I encourage you guys to watch these guys at the minor league level through the course of the regular season. Don't just watch the spring breakout game. Also be following these guys. And if you can, go to these games or watch them on MILB.TV. Watch these guys in action because minor league baseball is really fun. And you get an in-depth glimpse as far as the progress that these guys are taking. So if you're in California, go to some Rancho Cucamonga Quakes games. If you're in Michigan, go to the Great Lakes Loons games. Or if you're in the area, go to one of their road games. Highly, highly encourage that. Or if you're in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City Baseball Club. Yes, Casey, I'm going to say Oklahoma City Baseball Club. Or the Tulsa Drillers, go to some of their those games. Very highly recommend that you do that. Craig Osterberg, Stone looked more impressive than Miller. I think that's a fair assessment, especially because Gavin Stone threw 8 strikeouts in 3 1/3 innings. That is hard to beat. Gavin Stone was dominant. He was effective. Bobby Miller, I still have all the confidence in the world. And actually, I promised it a little bit earlier. Some of the stuff plus that Bobby Miller had. I showed a little bit of Gavin Stone stuff plus. We're going to go ahead and show you some of the stuff plus from Bobby Miller today, which graded out incredibly well. This is from TJ Stats right here. These are the stuff plus from today's game for Bobby Miller. 113 on his changeup for his fastball, 116, 113. All of these pitches were incredibly well and graded out great well, which If you weren't here earlier, Stuff Plus, just a measure to grade out an individual's pitches for a player. So it takes into account horizontal movement, vertical movement, all of these different aspects. So go check out Thomas Nestico at TJ Stats. He uses his own formula for the Stuff Plus model, which is very similar to some of the other models in the past that were used. So yeah, great comments. Both of them pitched really well and were very impressive. Gavin Stone had a lot of the results. Roy Estrada, Craig spot on the take on Gavin Stone. Hopefully, so we're excited to see what Gavin Stone is able to do going forward. Jeff, thank you very much for joining as well. Doing a great job, Rubik here. I really appreciate you joining us. Roy Estrada, Teoscar looked bad at the plate last night. I think, as Angelo stated, Teoscar, I think, is going to be fine. This is something that you're going to get with Teoscar Hernandez. There's going to be some swing and miss in his game. Just something that you're going to have to deal with a bat like a Teoscar Hernandez. Not a lot of walks, a lot of swing and miss, a lot of strikeouts. But that power and the left-handed hitting ability that Teoscar Hernandez has is why he is on the club. And some of the swing and miss might also be why he's only on a one-year deal. He's not the perfect player, yet his strengths are really good and exactly what the Dodgers need. I think Teoscar Hernandez is going to be just fine. Gordon Ames, looks like Gavin Stone has added a few upticks on the fastball. We saw a little bit of that velocity increase for Gavin Stone in today's game during the game this morning. And I think that's a really great point because that just leads to him having really good solid stuff. We saw that with the Stuff Plus numbers earlier, which I can pull up for a Gavin Stone. Again, shout out to TJ Stats for this. But for his fastball, because of the velocity of what it ended up being, it just ticked up just even more. To where it became a positive pitch for Gavin Stone. So it's really exciting development, what he's able to do going forward, Gavin Stone. Daryl Jackson, I think the team needs more switch hitters. Not a bad point right there. I think they just need as many good, solid hitters as they possibly can. And I think the Dodgers have put together an incredible hitting staff. I know there might be some complaints about some of the bats on the bench. I know a lot of people like to rag on an Austin Barnes. He's going to be the catcher going forward, and I think Miggy Rojas provides the necessary insurance at shortstop. This club is pretty solid, very airtight. There might be a few areas that need patched and need addressing going forward, but they also have some good talented switch hitters coming up through the system, like a Tyrone Laronzo or like an Alex Freeland, who I am very high on Alex Freeland, and I got to see a little bit. I noticed might be a little bit of stuff that he's working on with his stance. I know he kept his hands a little bit lower than what he normally does, at least during that spring breakout game. I don't know if that's something new that he's tinkering with. Alex Freeland is going to be a good player, and he showed a lot last year, and he still has a lot of potential with power in combination to his 30 stolen base type potential that he displayed last year. Gotcha. Justin Lamas, fifth starter, had a 10 ERA last year. Gotcha. So referring to somebody that you talked about last year, Gavin Stone, who had a 10 ERA. What I would say with Gavin Stone is just look at some of the stuff and stuff that Gavin Stone is having on display, like we just displayed with some of the Stuff Plus, doesn't mean that Gavin Stone will continue the results of spring training going forward as he continues on to the regular season. Spring training stats don't always translate, but the process is there. The process is beginning to be there. So it would be great if Gavin Stone is able to be that fifth starter. So if he's not the answer of the fifth starter, at least the Dodgers will have an answer, and at least the Dodgers have options to where they could go to different options. So you're not going to get any sort of guarantee with pitchers going forward of whether they're going to do great going forward. And Gavin Stone doesn't have the major league history to back it up, at least major league results. Trust the process going forward, and trust that this organization is doing everything they can to try to win games. I think Gavin Stone, getting him that big league experience, even if it is just to build up his trade value, is worth it for the Dodgers going forward, and he's the best option right now. John Quimby, good evening, Austin. Hello, everyone. Good evening to yourself, John, and thank you very much for joining us here on Dodgers Dogs, part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Let's see. BC is saying the underlying stats tell him the ERA will go down. We'll have to wait and see. Yeah, you have to wait and see what's going to happen. And the previous season's ERA isn't the best indication of future season's ERA. This is actually something I wrote about, looking specifically at FIP and XFIP versus the next season's ERA. Did a little bit of math, a little bit of statistics. Found that FIP and XFIP, especially somewhere in between those two numbers, given the nature of those statistics, is actually better at predicting an individual's future ERA in comparison to a previous season's ERA. So look at a lot of those underlying metrics. Definitely hear you on that comment, and I'm not saying that you should trust Gavin Stone going forward, but the Dodgers do, and there's reasons why the Dodgers do, so be patient with that. Johnny Owens, Walker Buehler hitting 97 at extended spring training. I did see that. I know he's good pals with some of the Just Baseball people, so definitely go check out their work. He does a lot of interviews with them. I don't know how often, weekly, every couple of weeks or so. But he's performing. He's starting to hit some of those velocity, and I think you're going to see Walker Buehler here fairly soon. However, the Dodgers map out the innings for Walker Buehler and making sure that they are somewhat backlogged to where he is healthy, ready to go for the postseason. They're going to be prepared for that. But if he's hitting 97, a lot of the concerns about him only hitting 91, 92 miles per hour in his stuff start to ease a lot of those concerns, and to where you could start being more confident that he's going to be the pitcher that he was going forward. Gregory, thank you very much for joining us, as well as Chris. Thank you for joining us as well. Justin Lamas, have a great night. We'll be going here just for another couple of minutes, getting through the rest of the comments tonight, and I'll let you go back on your Monday evening. I know you guys have to get to bed a little bit early to make sure that you are up at 3 a.m. on the West Coast, awake and alert for the Dodgers versus the Korean series. So this is a little bit messing with some of the sleep schedule. I only have to get up at 6 a.m. It's a little bit easier for me here on the East Coast. Mr. Seabad put Ohtani at shortstop when Mookie is pitching. Dodgers have rich people problems. Definitely interesting comment right there. Tomatli, thank you very much for joining us. Love the prospect talk, Austin. Looks like one of my favorite players, Alex Freeland, tweaked his setup, lowering his hands. What do you make of that? Contact a little bit better this spring. And that is something that I noticed as well. I actually didn't notice that until the spring breakout game. Because normally Alex Freeland, when he was up to bat, especially last season, I confirmed this with looking back through some of the videos that I had taken, kept his hands a little bit more up here. Then he lowered his hands down as he was going to his swing. During the spring breakout game, he kept his hands more at his waist, which is clearly something that he is working with and working on with the Dodgers. I don't know what exactly he's going with this approach. Could be to try to get a little bit more contact-oriented to his approach. He was a little bit swing and miss heavy at times last year. Or if it's just to load up into his power a little bit more, try to eliminate some of the elements in his swing. I'm not a baseball coach. I would be interesting to talk to some of the hitting coaches, the great hitting coaches that are part of this organization. Last year, he was with Akoya Dixon. Next year, I actually don't remember exactly who he's going to be with on the hitting side, but he's going to be around great instructors, and that is something to keep an eye out for with Alex Freeland as he continues to go forward. He's making potentially some adjustments to his swing with some of the mechanics, but with some of the upside that he has, with the power that can be on display with an Alex Freeland, and with the ability to play third base and shortstop, I think Alex Freeland is a prospect, high draft pick for the Dodgers definitely somebody to keep an eye out for if you are unfamiliar with Alex Vreeland. And there's a good reason why the Dodgers continue to highlight Alex Vreeland in the spring breakout game and in spring training. John Quimby, thoughts on JP Fireisen last night? Didn't get a whole lot of JP Fireisen. Came in late in the game after Gavin Stone, so we only got a little bit of a small picture with him. He's going to play a part of this Dodgers team, part of this Dodgers organization and pitching rotation. The question is, will he make the club in the Korea Series and coming out of camp once the Dodgers hit domestic opening day? That is the real question. There are limited spots on this roster, and JP Fireisen, with his two options that he has, is going to be an option for the Dodgers to send back down if they need to. Get through the last couple of comments right now. Chuck Norris threw a fastball 189 miles per hour. It was 2 miles per hour faster than Kyle Hurts, 187 miles per hour fastball. I asked for some Chuck Norris and Kyle Hurt type things, and Mr. Seabad has definitely delivered. Mr. Seabad also said Casey is not fishing. Casey is out celebrating that OU didn't make the NCAA tournament. And I think, you know what? You're absolutely right, Mr. Seabad. Hopefully Casey is tuning in, watching, or if he's not tuning in, watching, which I don't blame him, get a night off if you're Casey. Going back through the replay of this one, yeah, I'm sure he's definitely celebrating OU missing out of the tournament. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. I know he was incredibly excited. We did a prediction of Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State when they played football. I predicted OU and totally got that prediction wrong. But I did get the Texas versus Oklahoma State Big Ten championship game correct. Sorry, Casey, about that one. So I think that is going to do it here on Dodgers Dogs as part of the Dodgers Daily Network. You guys continue to be amazing. I continue to be encouraged by the support that you guys have shown this channel. We are just hours away from Dodgers opening day. Less than 2 days. It's going to happen at 3 a.m. on Wednesday on the West Coast, 6 a.m. on the East Coast here. Dodgers versus Padres. Tyler Glasnow versus Yu Darvish of the San Diego Padres. Man, baseball is back. We couldn't be more excited for it here on Dodgers Dogs. Couldn't be more excited for minor league action to start as well. We saw a glimpse of that in the spring breakout game of just how talented this farm system continues to be. Great Lakes Loons start on April 5th against the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, the affiliate of the Padres. I will be there 6:05 Eastern Time, 3:05 Pacific. Baseball is back. And we couldn't be more excited about this. Thank you very much for joining. I'm Austin Brubaker, part of the Dodgers Daily Network. Next time we will be live is Wednesday evening. We'll be live at 6 o'clock Pacific. Until then, thank you very much for joining us. Go Dodgers and go Loons.